The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light, because their works were evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. I always look forward to these pink or rose Sundays. The priest wears a lighter shade of purple, technically, during the season of Lent and Advent, mostly because it signals that we're close to the end of the penitential seasons. Right, during Advent, it's the third Sunday of Advent, so that's often very close to Christmas, and we might be getting excited that Christmas is soon to be here. And even though Lent will last longer than just another week or two, there's about 3 weeks left until Easter, the reason the church gives us this Rejoice Sunday is to point us towards the truth of the resurrection. That yes, we're in a time of penance and suffering, but as Christians, we're not meant to just stay there in that moment of sadness or in that darkness. The church points us towards the light of the resurrection. And I think the church does that not just to remind us that Jesus did conquer sin and death, not just about something Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I think it actually reminds us that the purpose for us during Lent is to prepare us for Easter, to help us enter into the new life that Christ came to bring us. That he sent his Son into the world not so that we would perish and suffer, but that we might have eternal life. So in this midway point of Lent, I think we should be encouraged to continue with our Lenten practices, our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, because we're starting to see how that light is dwelling within us. We're starting to see the freedom that Christ wants to give us this year through Lent. Remember when I did Exodus 90 several years ago, that's a 90-day program that has all sorts of penance and fasting with it. But about a month or so in, I realized that it had gotten a lot easier. It wasn't that all of a sudden I just enjoyed not eating dessert or not snacking between meals, like I was super excited to get up in the morning and take a cold shower. Because I can promise you I was not excited for that ever. But about a month or 45 days in, I remember just thinking, it's really not as hard. Like there's a certain amount of freedom that I've done this over and over and over again, not perfectly over that first month or so, but that I had started to grow in the habit of doing it, that it wasn't this big, huge mental block every single morning that I just dreaded getting in the shower and taking a cold shower. Instead, I did it quickly, so it was over with as fast as I could imagine. But then there was a certain freedom that I had built up that I was able to do that thing well, that I wasn't condemned or stuck in the old ways of doing things. But through this work, God had shown me the light of a new way of living. It led me into a life, I would say, of freedom. Not perfect freedom yet, but leading me to where he wanted me to be. I think that's what Lent is always meant to help us to do, to see how we're growing in those things, even if we haven't been perfect so far in the first month of Lent. But instead to start to see how God sent his Son, not just into the world, but into our lives, not to condemn us, but that we might be saved through him. The word condemn, I think, is very fitting, is very specific in the gospel. It's the same word that Jesus uses when the woman is caught in adultery and he sends everyone away. He says, "Has anyone condemned you?" When we hear that, we may just think, well, did anybody notice your sin? Is anyone punishing you for what happened? But I think the reason it's used in today's gospel and also used in that encounter with the woman caught in adultery is that God is acknowledging the sins that have happened. He's acknowledging the past. But he's saying that we're not stuck or defined by the past. But instead, we should be defined by this freedom in Jesus Christ. To acknowledge our sins and our weaknesses, but to see that in his light, he's actually leading us to something new. Something so new that he can lead us to eternal life. Something that's ever new and ever exciting. So as we find ourselves in the midpoint of Lent, I think that should be what we're drawn into today. And we look forward to the Easter season. We say, Lord, I've seen how you're starting to bring that freedom in me. That through my Lenten practices and through discipline, that I can be more like Christ each and every day. But also to see that that path, that journey isn't finished. See that hopefully over the next 3 weeks, I continue to grow on that freedom and that new life. But also that God wants to give me something better than I can imagine. That's why the church gives us this first reading from the book of Chronicles, which reminds us of the prophecy of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah warned the people that they had gotten so far away from God that they were going to be sent away from Jerusalem for 70 years. Basically saying for a whole generation, you won't be able to come back and worship God in the temple. You won't be able to offer sacrifice because you've wandered so far away from him. The sacrifices you offered in the past, the ways you'd observe the Sabbath, the ways that you had rejected him by worshiping other gods. The only way to fix that and bring you back is through 70 years of being away. So in these 70 years away from Jerusalem, I don't think he just wanted the people of Israel to kind of sit around and wait for God to do something. Just to say, well, God told us we had a punishment, so I guess we'll wait till he's done punishing us, and once he's ready for us to go back to Jerusalem, he'll make that happen. Instead, I think he wanted the people to prepare for the time when they could go back, to realize how far they had wandered from the Lord, and to be able, little by little, to embrace a new life of freedom, to not be condemned to those old ways, but instead to see how they could be changed in that moment. Because if they used those years to prepare their hearts, if they used those years away from Jerusalem to be ready to love and serve God perfectly, then when they would realize that he was ready to give them this great gift, that it wasn't just about what they would do, but it was about them preparing so that when God invited them into a deeper relationship, they were free and ready to say yes. Because that's what this moment with King Cyrus really is. That God uses Cyrus, king of the Persians, who seemed to be a great enemy to Israel, to actually be the one that sent the decree that said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. I think for the Israelites, this was supposed to be a reminder that God was going to do something greater than they could imagine. That yes, it was again about them preparing and doing what they could, but they were never going to earn their freedom and go back to Jerusalem on their own. Instead, their job for those 70 years was to, little by little, turn away from the old life. Was to not think that they were condemned to be what they were in the past, but instead to forge a new life for themselves. To grow out of the darkness into the light of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I think that's the encouragement we should take on this fourth Sunday of Lent. There is still time for us to prepare, for us to turn away from sin and our earthly attachments. But also that God wants to do something more incredible than sending the people back to Jerusalem for us this Easter. And he really wants us to know that we're not condemned or stuck in the ways of old. We're not stuck or defined by our sins or our weaknesses. Instead, when we turn away from them and trust in God's strength, then we can be led into a new life. A new life of freedom. A new life that is eternal, not just because it keeps existing, because there's always new ways that we can trust him and follow him. So brothers and sisters, let us pray on this fourth Sunday of Lent that we can recognize that light that's starting to shine in our own lives. And through our Lenten practices, we're making space for the Lord to lead us into freedom. And that we can notice, even when we don't do our Lent perfectly, that we can start to prefer the light of Christ to the darkness of sin. That rather than staying where we are and remaining in the darkness, we can be led into that light of the resurrection, experiencing now and for all our days the goodness that God wants to give us through his Son, Jesus.